Good morning again. Again. Okay. That was good, morning, eh? You did well preach. That's good. Very good. Very good. So let's. This morning I want to share. Let's pray again. Let's pray again. Yeah, Father, thank you for your word. Your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Your word is alive. And that your word is truth. And that your word sets us free. And this morning we just ask, Lord, that you will just, again, just pierce our hearts with your word. Pierce our hearts, Lord. Pierce our hearts with your truth, with your the sword of your spirit. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit, just to come and minister to us, speak to us. Not just in our hearts, Lord, but also in our minds. Even let our minds be transformed this morning through your word, through your spirit. Where we've got perceptions and thoughts that's not pleasing unto you, that you will just come. Give us new thoughts. Give us new perceptions. Give us new perspective, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I want to share a little bit out of Galatians chapter 5. So let's go to verse 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul writes here and he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Say, "Christ has set us free." Christ has set us free. So Paul starts with a statement. He's saying, okay, there's something done here. There's the work. It's already done. Christ has set us free. Then he makes the next statement. He says, okay, so now stand firm, therefore. He says, okay, that's our response. And then he gives a bit of a warning. And he says, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So just a little bit of background. For those of you who've been around church, just church, as a Christian maybe, perhaps, have seen that people are people. We were just sharing, talking about that. We're all human. When we look around you, we're family, we're a bit of a process. Okay? So for those of you married, definitely knows that. For those of you who have kids, definitely knows it. And but it's a process. For when I was, before I got married, I thought I was quite amazing. Where's my wife? I just want to see you. Where are you? In the toddler's room. Yeah. Are you there? Where are you? She is waving. Yes, I can see her and something. Okay, cool. So I've got a wife. I've got three kids. And before I got married, I thought I was doing very well. Very well. Like, really. I thought I was doing really well. And so the Bible says, obviously, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. So I tried. But I really thought I did very well. And then I got married and I got humbled. I'll never forget Umkus stood in the middle of me and my wife. One pre-counseling session to our wedding day. Remember Umkus? It was very good. Thanks for that. Mornay cried a lot of tears, was prayed for us, and 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, just helping us, encouraging us. And I just realized, actually, this thing of becoming something and living in that first thing we said, remember? Freedom. Just say freedom again. So Christ has set us free. Just say that again. Christ has set us free. But are we free? Okay, that's it. It's not a trick question. Monet says mostly, we're mostly free. What do you think, Charlotte? Okay, we are if we live in it. That's a good answer, Charlotte. As you can see, she works with finances. So if you live in your budget, then you're free. There's freedom in the budget. Hallelujah. So, are we free? Or are we dumb? Who knows that ad? Okay, some of us know it. Okay, don't worry. Are we free? The question is, I've been in church since I was about 8 years old. Michael says I wasn't really saved, but we're working that thing out still. But anyway, I started going to church, and I'm not going to go into that now, but I've been around a lot of churches, and there's a lot of things that, with the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. Hallelujah. Who comes out of the Pentecostals? We've got a few here. Anyone here? Like Ian. With the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. That's 2 Corinthians 3:17. John 8, Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, and we sing these songs, and awesome, great stuff. But when I'm standing in normal life, I realize I'm not as free as I thought I was. And that's a realization. Who of you guys have realized that? In a moment when I, not a lot of us. Okay, cool. I'm at the right crowd then. Okay. So a lot of, I really thought I was free. I thought I was doing well. I thought I was living, walking in the Spirit, showing love, joy, peace, patience, everywhere I go. I just thought that was the vibes, bro. And then I got a wife and I realized that my space, it's not my space anymore. And it's easy when you've got your space and nobody bothers you to live in the Spirit. But the word this morning was confirmed again that we are called into family. And when we get into family, it's not so much fun anymore. Okay. And that's why this is very crucial for us to get that the moment we get into each other's space, there is what we call this thing called conflict. Eh? I want it this way. She wants it that way. Okay? She wants to watch romance. I want to watch Rambo. Hallelujah, guys. Come on. Who wants to watch romance if you can watch Rambo? Rambo's dead anyway, so that's why we use that. But Christ has set us free. And when I ask you, can I ask you a question? This is a trick one. Why did Christ set you free? Anyone? This is not a trick question. Okay, so it's for freedom. Christ has set us free. And what shall we do with our freedom? Who knows? Because, anyone? There's a couple of smart people here. Okay. Hold on.
Christ has set us free from sin and death.
Okay, that's a good one. That's another question. So Christ has set us free from sin and death. So we're free from that. For what did he set us free? Woo! Uncle Jeff. I love that. Wait. Uncle Jeff.
To serve the Lord.
Okay, that's a good one. Give Uncle Jeff a hand. Okay, that's good, guys. What else? Rachel, what did the Lord set us free for?
To have a relationship with him.
Very good. Who else? Something else?
To serve other people.
Okay, serve the Lord, have relationships, serve other people, and Gary's got something else.
When you're free, you can then seek to set others free in Christ, like to allow him to set them free. But if you're not in freedom, then how are you going to see the captives to be set free?
Good point. If I'm sitting in my cage in bondage, I can't take people. If I take people in, I'm taking people into the same place. So if I'm in freedom, I can call people into freedom. Good one. Lekker. Okay, so we're going to look at anyone else. Sorry. Yes, you guys are on it today. Okay, wait. I'm going to be with you, Trader. One more.
To show his glory.
Ooh. Okay, the glory. I don't think we're going to get there this morning, but that's a very good one. And Trader?
Same one. Glorifying.
Ooh, that's good. We're gonna get there. No. Okay. So we're gonna serve God. We wanna serve one another. Someone said that? Yes? We wanna have a relationship. I'm unfit. Okay. So Jesus said, for those of you who are still struggling with this thing of the freedom, can we quickly look? Jesus got up, as this was his habit, he went to the synagogue on this Sabbath. Okay? Almost said Sundays, but it was the Sabbath. Luke 4 verse 18, 19 says, Luke 4 verse 18, Jesus took the scroll, Isaiah 61, he opened it and he read the scripture. He says, the Spirit of the Lord, say the Spirit of the Lord. Because unless we understand that it's the Spirit of the Lord, we're going to try to do it on our own. And we don't want to do that. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. Say good news, not bad news. Okay. sometimes a bit boring because you're not going to have sex before marriage anymore. But it's good news, okay? Just to throw it out there. Say good news, not bad news. To the poor. Okay, you don't have to say that. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, which is another word for freedom, to the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty again those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then verse 20 says, he rolled up the scroll, he went to sit down, and 21, and then he went to sit down, and he started to speak again in verse 21, and he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So basically what Jesus said, I've been sent to proclaim freedom. Okay, so he started proclaiming freedom, he accomplished the work on the cross, and now it's for us to stand firm in that freedom that we have been worked given through the cross, and then for us to not again submit to the slavery. So for those of you who don't know, before all of this happened, there was a garden where man lived in sweet relationship and fellowship with God. His name was Adam, he had a wife, hallelujah, for the men. And their name was Eve, and they sinned, and they fell short of the glory. They were kicked out of the garden. The relationship they had with God was broken. Ever since then, there was a couple of things that happened, and then at a stage, God gave them the law, which was called the law of Moses. So if you read Galatians 5, verse 2, we can go on there now, is the ultimate thing, for the lack of better wording there, was the circumcision. Monet referred to the circumcision 2 weeks ago as well. The circumcision was this thing they did. They cut off their foreskin off their, okay? So the, it represented a set of partners unto the Lord, okay? It was the thing. If you circumcised, especially on the eighth day, eh? If you're circumcised on the eighth day, that's like when you're born after on that eighth day. So in the beginning, they did it just before they went into, as they went into Egypt, which Mornay spoke about last day. So it's a bit of a sore process, this thing called circumcision. So Paul goes on, can we go to verse 2? And Paul says, serve is for freedom. Okay? Say it's for freedom, remember? This whole thing, it's for freedom. Okay? So Luke, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage. Say no advantage. No advantage. Not even a little bit. No advantage. Verse 3 goes, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. So basically, he just puts out this picture of, if you're going to try to do the things, for us Western people, let's change the wording there quickly. If you're going to try to tick the boxes, Christ has no advantage to you. Because ticking the boxes is not what you were called for. It's not what you were called to. You were called to the person, not the law. So Jesus changed all of that. See, the law was given. There was this 10 commandments. There was 300 and what else? More commandments. There was all the traditions. There was even festivals they had to celebrate. And if you tick all those boxes, you can come boldly on that day when they offered the doves and the chickens and the sheep, and it was, you knew you had confidence. But now Jesus said, okay, I fulfilled all of that by dying on the cross. Now my blood is the sacrifice, and now circumcision, ticking the boxes. And that's very difficult for us, people. I don't know if you guys got lists on your phone of stuff you have to do every day, but if you do those stuff, you feel good. Who feels good, Uncle Jeff? You and I know. Like you're building your stuff, you're building business, you tick the boxes, it feels good. And you almost want to come to the Lord and go, Lord, look my list. I did it. I forgave today. I love someone. I smiled. I gave someone a cup of water. And remember you said, if I give it to them, it's like giving it to you. How awesome is that, Lord? I kept to the speed limit. I paid my taxes. I smiled again. And I actually played with my kids today. And you want to go, Lord, look, I did it. But the Lord says, counts for nothing. Counts for nothing. Then he goes on. Because now there's a second group of us. Circumcision nor uncircumcision. You have to check this out. Check, can we go back there? 20, verse 2. No? Okay, verse 3. Circumcision. Okay, 4, verse 5. Hallelujah. We're going to get there now. Yes, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. So who's the uncircumcision group? That's the group who goes like, I can't do anything to please God. So you don't do the things. And you go like, I'm living so free that I'm not ticking any boxes. I'm just pleasing the Lord. And that's also not pleasing the Lord. Because some of us go like the prayer Jesus uses picture of the rich man or the Pharisee, I think. I'm sorry, I might be wrong here. But the Pharisee and the sinner is praying. And Jesus uses picture. He's like, the Pharisee goes like, so first the sinner goes like, oh Lord, have mercy on me, for I'm wretched. And the Pharisee goes like, Lord, thank you that I'm not like him. And the Lord goes, which one pleases me more? He says, not the guy who doesn't do this stuff, the uncircumcision. He doesn't do this stuff. He's not sinning. He's not hitting people on the road and swearing and stealing someone's money and not, pretending he doesn't have income to rob the tax guy and all of those stuff. He doesn't do all of that. He does the things right, but he doesn't do those stuff. And he goes like, thank you, Lord, I'm not like that. But neither counts for anything. But, can we read the rest of verse 6 quickly, Annie? But only faith working through love. So I was thinking about this thing, faith working through love. As a father, I've got children. And if I ask my kid to make his bed, for example, I'm happy that he does it. I'm actually pleased. If I don't ask him to make his bed and he does it, I'm even more pleased. But that's just still ticking a box, eh? My father is not pleased by me making my bed. Do you guys know that? And that's the challenge for us as modern day living Christians, is that we think we can please God by ticking the boxes. It's so easy because I'm pleased when my kids tick the boxes. I'm really pleased. I love it. I feel good about it. I'm like, I've got a good kid, eh? Makes his bed in the morning, brushes his own teeth, does his own hair, dresses himself, feeds himself, actually does his own homework. He's 8 years old. Hallelujah, look at that. Got a good kid. He's actually I'm not representing the father well. So the Lord has been challenging me in these last 2 weeks. And this is, again, I just want to come to this point. This is the thing of like, it's through obedience that we love God. Okay? But it's through faith that we please God. Okay, so I realized that I'm like, actually, I'm teaching my kids the wrong way. Here one comes. Hello, Jerai. So actually, I'm teaching them to try to please me by ticking the boxes. Because I'm training them the whole time. I'm teaching them, do this, do that, do that. And I'm actually giving them function instead of relation. So the call this morning again is, even in as the word coming to family, we need to move from a transactional to a relational. You know, if my relationship with God cannot and doesn't hang on my function, on my bed being made, on the things that I've done, on the boxes, it doesn't hang on that. It hangs and only stands in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Only. Fully, 100%. It says no advantage. If I go outside of Christ, going to doing things or not doing things, no advantage. But if I'm in Christ, I'm like, okay. Okay, it's by faith and it's through love. My love is my obedience to God. My faith is my pleasingness to God. But it's this pursuit. And this pursuit, and that's where I want to, this thing of the journey. Am I free? Yes, if I live in it. Am I free? I've been given freedom, but I must stand firm in it, and I must definitely make sure I don't fall again back to slavery. But the only thing is to realize, and that's why I used Nana said, and now it was a bit awkward. I really thought I did well, and then I got married. And that's not to diss my wife, but to realize sometimes we have to get married to realize that we're not there yet. That's important. That's why Logan is very eager. That's why Michael is very eager to get married this year. Gary also thought he did well. And then, so I said, Brew, get married. He's got a couple of guys getting married soon now. But what is it for you? Some of the guys, you're not going to get married. For you, it's actually rather to get involved in an actual friendship. that's going to be for you the thing that will realize, actually, I'm not as amazing as I thought I was. To actually give a bit of yourself. To go like and take someone else for a coffee. Especially the guy who think he doesn't want to sit with you and have coffee. Go like, bro, I'm going to take you for a coffee. Come. Can I pop by your house and stop and bring you something? That is stepping outside. It's actually, so now we realize we're being stretched. So the law, ticking the boxes. I love, can I just read this? Acts 13, verse 38 and 39 says, let it be known to you, brothers and sisters, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. So another translation would say, just like, the law of Moses couldn't free of us anything. Ticking the boxes only shows us that we cannot do it, that we couldn't do it. Romans explains it very well. So let's look at the three things. Uncle Jeff said, serve God. Irina said, serve one another. We had a setting free. I want to look at three things this morning. As we know that we are freedom, we've got this freedom to serve God, we've got a freedom to serve one another, and we've got the freedom to know that our walking with God and with one another will ultimately result in eternal life. And it's a journey. So for me, as a father, I know I'm not there yet. 2 years ago, Mornay said, went on holiday together, / outreach to Namibia. And we were there, and afterwards he sat down with me and he said, he gave me some pointers. He pointed me, he showed me that I actually need to learn to enjoy things with my friend. With my kids. I just don't enjoy doing things with them. I enjoy doing things that I enjoy with them, but then they don't enjoy it. That's a bit, that's like, what's it? We've got this little rule that my sister actually has with her family. Like, it must be lack of his fault. So it must be lack of fault. It must be enjoyable. There must be, and that's where fellowship happens. Fellowship happens when my wife and I goes to the beach together and enjoys it together. But if she comes and goes, then it's not enjoyable. So then there's no fellowship. Then there's like wrestle. And who likes to wrestle, eh, Gary? No one. Come on. So what we want is, where was I now? Yes, I totally got distracted. Serve God. Oh, pointers. So we've got these pointers. And I want to say this thing about the journey. So crucial. So crucial. So crucial. If we don't remember every day that the journey starts fresh. So God says in his word that my mercies are new every morning. I was thinking about it this morning. In Hebrew, the Bible says we must, just quickly, his mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? God thinks, and therefore usually he's right, he's always right. God thinks it's good, and it's also not only good, but it's necessary to give new mercies every morning. Okay? So that means every morning there's new mercies. So that means we actually need new mercies every morning. Hebrews. Let's open it quickly. I didn't put it up. Hebrews 4, verse, I think the last verse. So we know there's new mercies. God decided that it's good to give new mercies every morning. Verse 16. Thank you. Oh. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it just hit me as the writer right here. I must go to the throne of grace to get what? Mercy. The mercies are new every morning. So that means every morning is a time of need. It just hit me this morning. I was like, I actually need to get to the throne of grace every morning and get the new mercies. Because if you and I are not going to get the new mercies, you and I are not going to make today. And we're going to come get the end of our day and we're going to go like, oh, oh. Instead of coming to the throne of grace, allowing the Father to give His new mercies. His mercies are new, so new that He decides He's going to give it new every morning. So every morning I come. So God doesn't call us to ticking the boxes, coming to function, coming to all of that. He calls us to Himself, to relationship. So the Lord challenged me another thing. He said, again with my kids. That's where the pointers come out. When I sat down with me. I'm finally getting it after 2 years. Starting to get it. So the Lord said, another thing that I'm teaching my kids wrong. When I ask my kids to quickly clean up their room, I walk away. Ask Michael, he's been there. So I walk away. I'm like, go clean your room. Go quickly clean up the lounge. What I'm teaching them is that the Father asks us to do things for Him. I'm not saying this is, you can never ask your kids to do something for you. Listen. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And He says, actually what I'm doing is I'm teaching my kids that I want them to do things for me. But the Father says, so what do you think I'm like? And I said, no, you want to do things with me. And He says, just that. That's the thing. You need to be that for your kids. So I asked them, they were sleeping in our room the other night. And so the next morning, I'm like, quickly pick up your mattresses, because they carry in mattresses and just there. And so the next morning, before we went out, I was like, quickly pick up your mattresses. And JC calls me. He's like, Papa, help me quickly. My immediate reaction was like, no, you can do it yourself. In this fatherly attitude of training him to do the things that he need to do. And the Lord smacked me from the side and he goes like, no, do it with him. Because the Father is always coming down to doing things with us. The Father is always coming down. He wants us to know. And that's for me the beauty of this realization of walking with the Lord, is the Lord doesn't actually call us to walk for Him, to live for Him, but to walk with Him and to live with Him. So I got down on my knees and I actually realized, hey, this is actually fun doing it with Him. And I showed Him, I did half of it, He did half of it. What did we get out of that? We lost maybe 5 minutes because I could have done something else. But we got relationship. No, that's why I had to sacrifice. I had to realize, Lord, that 5 minutes, so worth it. I got relationship. And I realized two things this last week. The Lord has been showing me that I'm teaching my kids wrong. I'm teaching them wrong. I'm teaching them that actually the Father wants them to do things for Him. So I realized my one kid, for example, he just does things for me the whole time. I literally walk in, he's like, hey, Papa, what can I do for you? I'm like, yes, that's a good one. So if I'm busy changing Jedediah's nappy, he always runs, Papa, can I get a bag for you? And initially I was impressed. Guess I trained him well, eh? What a guy. Jace, you're going to be employee of the month every month for the rest of your life. You're going to be class captain, la, 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 la. And I was just like, and then the Lord smacked me this last week. I'm teaching him wrong. I'm teaching him wrong. I'm teaching him to function instead of to relate. I'm training up a leader instead of a son. And the Father wants to know that first and foremost, we are sons and daughters of the living God. We're not leaders and apostles and pastors and prophets. Those things are function. But if it doesn't function and flow from the heart of a son and a daughter of the living God, then we've just wasted everything. No advantage. No advantage. And that's it. Just. And that's just what I've been realizing this last 2 weeks. So can we just for a moment, just for the next 10 minutes, it's nice and early, it's 15 minutes, I'll take the guitar, we can just worship a little bit, just spend some time relating with the Father. Just relate, let's just relate. Because all of the other stuff, it's good, it's function, but that's not the beauty.